It's an amazing book with some true accounts of these different things that happened in Daniel's lifetime, and also prophecy that he showed him. Some of it is still yet to be fulfilled, but it's going to happen. And so as we look at this, just like Jesus told him, you see these great buildings? There isn't even going to be a stone left on another. I'm going to tell you, these stones were amazing. These things were huge. Some of them weighed upwards of like 100,000, or even I think I've heard called around 100 ton. Can you imagine a stone that would weigh that much? And they were like the stones, likened to the stones that were in the wall in Jerusalem as well. And I'm going to tell you, if you go to Jerusalem today, you're not going to find one stone left on another of the temple of their day, just as Jesus said. Now, as we pick it up in verse 3, he's going to carry on from this. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately. So now we understand the group he's talking to, and we want to keep that in mind. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things will be fulfilled? And Jesus answered them, began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. Guys, don't let anybody deceive you. He's speaking to those who are closest to him. Amen? Do you know in Christ, you are those ones that are closest to him. You are his children. You are his bride. You are his disciples. And he's speaking to you today. Don't let the world deceive you. What kind of things is the world throwing out there and trying to make us worry about these days? I keep hearing these things about how the world might accidentally get destroyed by people someday. I'm just going to tell you guys, I know it doesn't happen. Now, I know we should take care of the world, and I'm not saying abuse the world, but I know that we are not somehow accidentally going to destroy the world by our foolishness. You know how I know that? Because God destroys the world in the end. There has to be a world still there for him to do that too. We're not going to accidentally do it before it's time, because God still has a plan in all of this. And so he's telling us, you need to take heed. You need to watch. You need to make sure that nobody deceives you. You know how you can make sure you don't get deceived? By making sure you know the truth. You know what, guys? If we know the truth like the back of our hand, it's going to be impossible for anyone else to deceive us whenever we know it to be for sure. And so that's what he wants you to do. You know how they train people in the government to make sure that they can tell a counterfeit bill from the real thing, the real article? They don't have them study all the different types of counterfeits. They don't have them study every little mistake that somebody might make to make a counterfeit. They have them study the real thing and know it so well that whenever they see a counterfeit, they can spot it like that. And guys, I want you to know the Word of God like that as well. So let's go ahead and read through this. And I'm sure we're not going to be able to get everything we need this morning, so that means you need to be reading it during the week too. We need to be reading the Word of God and be in it in some way, shape, or form every day of our life, because we don't want to allow anyone to deceive us. In verse 6, he says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. Guys, there's only one Jesus. There's only one way, and he's that way. There's only one Messiah. There's only one Christ. That's what Christ means, is Messiah. There's only one anointed one who will be king forever. It's him. It's Jesus, and he is the only one. And so don't ever let anyone fool you. In verse 7, but when you hear of wars, rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves. For they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Guys, walk so close, be so saturated in God that you won't have to be worried about what you're going to say. You just say what he gives you. Have so much of the word in you. Let it be part of who you are. Let it be in your heart. Let it be what you think about during the day so that whenever it's time to give an answer for the hope that you have, guys, you'll be ready. Even if you're standing before the President of the United States or some king of some nation in the Middle East or some leader, even in the communist world where Christianity is not welcomed. All you need to do is be prepared to be faithful when it's your chance. Guys, even when you stand with your neighbor, amen? But let us be ready. Let us know that as the end draws near, there is going to be hostility toward the church. Don't be afraid. Know that it's part of the plan. It is part of the way things are going to happen. And you know what? That generation was going to see that happen even in their day. And here's how I know part of this was short-term fulfillment, because he's talking to them. And then verse 10 comes and he says, the gospel must first be preached in all nations. That hasn't happened yet. So I know that some of it got fulfilled then, but some still is yet to be fulfilled today. You know, I had somebody tell me not too long ago, they said, preacher, we don't have to keep going out and trying to preach this to all the nations because it's already happened. I'm going to say something here this morning. Do you know there are places in the world where the name Jesus isn't even available? There are places in the world where people couldn't reach out to Jesus and verbally call him into their life because they've never heard his name. It's our responsibility to follow God's leading and answer his call to go where he sends us. And he will open the doors and he prepares the hearts, but he wants us to take the message. Amen? And we're still working on that. He goes on in verse 11, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, again, let's read that and soak that in. I know I've already read it, but let's read it again. Do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. For whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. He goes on in verse 12. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, the children, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Do you want to endure to the end? Do you want to finish well? Do you want to be faithful? Then let's get so close to God that no matter what happens in our future, guys, we're going to finish well with him. I need the strength of Christ because I'm going to tell you, I can't do it on my own. None of us can. Have you guys noticed that it seems like persecution is on the rise even in our own areas? Have you noticed? 5 years ago or so, 5 or 6 years ago, God really put it on my heart that it was imperative that we begin to help the church be ready for the kind of persecution that God's going to bring on. Allow to happen in our land. I'm going to tell you, it's our complacency that's been making it a hotbed for it. We have sat back and allowed every other idea to begin to take over, and we have been complacent, and I believe we're going to pay a price for that. God's going to use it to help motivate us, I believe, and to strengthen our faith, just like he does any other place where persecution arises. But I'm going to say something. Even in our neighboring country, just to the north of us, of Canada, guys, I heard of a church in Edmonton where they ordered them not to meet, and whenever they continued to try to have some type of meeting, they came in and put a fence around their church with razor wire on the top. And they brought soldiers into that church, and they actually took up their place, 250 soldiers in that church to try to keep that church from entering back into their property. And whenever that church came and stood outside, the church congregation stood outside to worship on Sunday, they actually ordered the equivalent of like a SWAT team there to try to accost them and send them home because they weren't even going to allow them to meet in the parking lot. And whenever they did this, I'm going to tell you, a miraculous thing happened. Guys, their neighbors came out. People that didn't even belong to that church came out and said, we're not going to allow you to do that to them. Their neighbors joined together and came and stood between them, the church congregation, and these authorities that were trying to literally just persecute them. Guys, here's the thing. The world keeps trying to blame it on all these other things, like trying not to spread disease and things of that nature, which I know COVID is real. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's not. But guys, the stores are open, the bars are open, strip clubs are open, and the casinos are still open. So you tell me that it's okay for governments to come against the church and try to tell them they can't be open at all. That's called persecution. And if you think it wasn't happening similarly, but not quite to that degree in our own nation, you need to look around, because in California, they're still trying to hash some of it out in courts. Guys, we just need to be ready. We need to not be worried. We don't need to sit around and lose sleep over this, but we need to be ready to stand with Jesus and stand for Jesus no matter what, and finish well. I don't know how long it'll be before Jesus comes back. Do you? There's been these false prophets all along that have tried to name these dates, and that is the stupidest thing in the world, guys. Anybody that tries to tell you they know the date Jesus is coming back, you need to reject them immediately. Do not be deceived. Nobody knows. Jesus even says so. But here's the thing. We need to be ready and watching for our master all the time. He could come back today. Guys, as we look, it is our calling to be ready at any time for Jesus to return, for he who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, some people would say, well, this wasn't really talking to saved people. Now, do you remember who he was talking to here? Can anybody name them off for me? Some of his closest disciples, some of the inner circle. Remember Peter, James, John, and Andrew? It actually stipulated who was sitting there with him at that moment. Guys, we need to stay so close to Christ that no matter what happens, we are ready to finish well at all times. Do I get an amen? Verse 14, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Who is this abomination that causes desolation? I know a lot of times, you know, you got a lot of different thoughts on it. And some people are pretty dogmatic that they know exactly who it's going to be and things of that nature. Well, ultimately, in the end time prophecy, it's talking about the Antichrist. It's talking about that one. And there is going to be one person that is going to be taking over that role. And they're going to be a false Christ. And they're going to try to take his position. And then they're going to have the ability, if you look in the book of Revelation, they're going to have some ability to have false miracles and things of that nature to deceive even the elect, if that were possible, is what Jesus says about him. But I think in the short term, there were ones even among them in the Roman Empire, emperors, that kind of were types of Antichrist. There have been lots of types of Antichrists along the way. Let's go ahead and pull up the sermon. So my question for us is, are we watching for the Master? We're going to have these different signs of the times, and Jesus doesn't want us to ever be deceived. And we need to understand that this is talking about kind of a double prophecy. There's a short-term fulfillment in 70 AD, and then we're looking at the second coming of Christ in the great tribulation period that will come on all the earth. And one of these significant markers that we have here is this abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not. I'm going to give you just a little history lesson about the short-term prophecy of that, because of these different types of antichrists. They're showing us sort of what the antichrist will be like by what we can see. That next slide, Daniel. In 68 AD, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a guy named Nero. Did you guys ever hear of a guy named Nero? He ruled up to 68 AD, somewhere in there, 68 to early 69. He would have been the emperor who actually was persecuting Paul. OK, okay? And I'm going to tell you, he was a crazed maniac. He was a type of the Antichrist. He demanded worship of himself. And it was said, that whenever Rome burnt, that it most likely was probably him that started the fire. And he blamed it on the Christians to start real persecution. He danced in the streets while his own city and his own people were burning. I'm going to tell you how horrible this guy was. He used to use Christians to light his parties. He used them like candles. When they saw him taking place as though he were demanding the worship as though he were God, those who were listening to Jesus knew something significant was about to take place. And what wound up happening, just a quick history lesson, is in these next couple of years, things were going to culminate. Nero passed on, and then there was a struggle in 70 AD to see who would be the next emperor, and it was called the Year of Four Emperors. There was a warring of factions going on from military leaders, and they had their own Congress. Congress people, can you imagine? We still see the same nonsense going on today. But they, in a very physical way, were warring with one another, trying to take over. And all this time, they began to besiege Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem, they said, we're not going to pay tribute to the Romans anymore. So they camped around their city, and they wouldn't let food go in, and they wouldn't let people go out. And they said, we'll just wait till we starve them out. Well, here's the thing. For people that heard Jesus, they saw all these signs, and there was all these factions that were fighting against each other, these Roman factions. They got so busy fighting with one another over the Roman emperors that they actually just mysteriously left Jerusalem for a period of time. And so one day, the Jews looked outside the walls and they said, where'd all the Romans go? Their stuff was still there, but they were gone. It was a mystery. They had no idea what happened. Well, it turns out, historically, those troops were needed somewhere else close by, and they went to fight another battle. For people that had listened to Jesus and believed Jesus and heard Jesus, here's the thing. They were watching, and they got out of Jerusalem, and they didn't have to go through the rest of the suffering that Jerusalem would see. For those who really didn't believe Jesus, they said, oh, well, you know, these things just happened. We'll be fine. Look, they left. They're not coming back. We'll just stay. I'm going to tell you, the latter part of that besiege was worse, way worse than anything that people had ever seen before. The ones who stayed and didn't believe Jesus, they really went through like hell on earth. Guys, here's the thing. He let us look back on that today, that history lesson, so that we'll believe him about the future. Guys, we need to be ready for the end at all times. We need to be ready for the trumpet blast. We need to be ready for the shout of the archangel. We need to be ready to be caught up with Jesus, together with him in the air, to be with him forever. Because what comes next is the tribulation, and you don't want to be here for that. So you say, preacher, how can I be ready? You surrender your heart to Jesus today. You be ready. Because when that trumpet sounds and he calls his church up, he knows who belongs to him. So you be ready. Say yes to Jesus today. Guys, I can't talk you into it. And if I could, it wouldn't be real. But if Jesus is calling your heart, you surrender to him today. Repent of your sin. Say yes to Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know what? His Holy Spirit will come and live in you. You won't be deceived, and you will be ready. And when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there. Amen. Guys, but we need to be ready just like they needed to be ready, by listening to Jesus, hearing his words, and believing him. As we continue to read on, he tells us, Let that reader understand in verse 15, that let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on his housetop, verse 15, not go down into the house nor enter to take anything out of his house. Guys, he's talking about the immediate fulfillment of this in 70 AD. It's going to happen. And let him who is in the field not go back and get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter, for in those days there will be tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Now, guys, there we see it was bad then. It's going to be worse in the future. He's speaking now as well of the future tribulation, the great tribulation, like has never been. He goes on and says, looking back as well at their short-term prophecy here in verse 20, and unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Guys, be counted among the elect. If he's calling your heart, do something about it today. Don't wait till tomorrow, because I'm going to tell you, Jesus could come. Be ready. And in their day, those who were ready got out. They escaped the torture that was going to come. In verse 21, then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand, but in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall. Let's think about that verse 24 just a little bit, guys. As we think about that, I want to also put some other historical events into this. There was a lot of volcanic activity during that time. Have you guys ever heard of Mount Vesuvius and Pompeii? Do you know what time in history that it erupted? Right around 70 AD. You know what goes along with that? Earthquakes. And it wasn't the only volcano that went off in that area, guys. There were more than one. And so he was speaking short term. You know what? As we near the end, we're going to see a greater increase of those things as well. Long term. Think short term, long term. Short term proves that long term is going to happen. And so he wants us to keep our eyes on what's going on. Now, long term, the stars of heaven will fall. Read Revelation. You'll see it for yourselves. It actually says this is going to happen. Maybe they're asteroids. Maybe they're meteors. You know, a lot of people have a lot of conjecture about it. We're not sure exactly what it's going to be. But it's going to be falling from outer space to Earth, okay? It's going to be like nothing we've ever seen. If you're ready, you don't have to be afraid. He says, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. He's talking about heavenly kingdoms here. In verse 26, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Do I get an amen? He's coming back for his church. All we need to do is be his and ready. How are you ready? If you're his, you'll be ready. And then he will send his angels and gather together, long term, guys, his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the time of Jesus coming is getting nearer every day. We can see the signs. We can know it's soon. Verse 29, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till these things take place. Again, short term. But now we got to look at the long term. Verse 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Do I get an amen? Every word he says is going to be fulfilled. In verse 32, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. If you have an ESV version, you're going to read that a little different. It says, stay awake. Guys, this is not a time for us to fall asleep spiritually. This is a time for us to be aware and awake, to be in tune with our Savior, to see, because the days are getting evil. We need to be ready, not just for Him to return, but how about all the people we want to see ready for His return? Do you have people in your life that you would love to see come to Jesus because you love them? This is your time to be faithful in telling them about Christ. This is our time, church, to make disciples of all the nations. We are to keep doing what we've been told to do until He comes back, or until we go to be with Him. Guys, stay awake, watch. You know what the watchman is supposed to do? The one who has the night watch? He's supposed to stay awake and watch. That's our place. We need to watch. We see a nation that's confused and just against one another. Everywhere we look, we see division and hatred and anger and strife. Let's be the ones who unite by the Word of God. Don't compromise Jesus and what He said. But I'll tell you, for those who are being called, they'll hear His voice and they'll come. We are the ones who call out so that they'll come. Verse 35, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest come suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I will say to all, watch. He expects us to watch, church. Watch for Him. Have our eyes open spiritually. Be looking for every opportunity for the kingdom of God to advance during these days. Watch. Tell the truth. Watch. Stay awake. Lead our families. Lead our children. Not just in how to be good people, guys. That ain't what gets us to heaven. But in how to follow Jesus. How to give our hearts fully to Him. And you know what your kids are going to be watching for more than what you say? They're going to be watching for what you do. They want to see us following Christ. You know, grandparents, you know what we need to do for our grandchildren? We need to follow Jesus with all our heart and bring them along with us. Let them see it. Let them experience it. And you know what? I believe God will draw their hearts. And they too will be ready for when that day comes. We got these signs. We've seen it. Short term already be fulfilled, just as He said. We've got these significant markers. We've got these types of Antichrist. But one day there's going to be one who's going to reveal Himself. And I'm going to tell you, He's going to be the one. And whenever that starts the process, the church is going to be caught up. And the time of tribulation will be like this earth has never known before. Be ready. Watch. Be doing what He called us to do when He shows up. And guys, that partial fulfillment, as it said in verses 31 and 32, is going to be a guarantee of the total future fulfillment. So what should we do then? Verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Follow along, verse 34, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. Guys, let us be ready. Let us be ready. Let us be found faithful. Let that be our aim and goal. I had a really good friend who used to say, Jesus is coming back. And when He does, it's going to be at a time you don't expect. And when He shows up, do you want Him to see you like this, as though you're saying, not now? Or do you want Him to see you like this, saying, praise God, you're here? That's our choice. I want to be like this when Jesus comes. I want him to be saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because I think somehow I can be perfect in my own strength, because I can't. But one thing he does want me to be is faithful. He wants us to live by the faith that he's given me. Watch and be ready, because someday we're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Amen. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. May you be in that number. May your children, your grandchildren, and all of you that are part of your families be in that number. May your neighbors and those people dear to you be in that number. Let's use every amount of energy and resource that we have to try to make disciples of all nations, for the time is at hand. Let me pray for you now. Dear God, I just come to you today. You are our Lord. You are our King. You are the great King of kings and Lord of lords, our dear Lord Jesus. I pray that if anybody here has not surrendered their heart fully to you, that they will take this opportunity right now to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you from this point on. Maybe they made a commitment when they were young. We may have adults in here that are saying, man, I remember making that commitment when I was 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 15 or whenever it was. But I've grown cold and I've gotten off the path, and today is the day to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe we may have somebody that's been in church their whole life but never really just came to the point where they said, I'm a sinner and I need salvation through Jesus. Please, Jesus, forgive me and be my Lord. Lord, wherever each individual finds themselves, I know one thing is common. We all need to finish well. We all need to endure to the end. So God, give us the strength. Be our strength to finish well. Help us to be the church that the world so desperately needs right now. They're not going to be happy with us. It's just like trying to direct a 2-year-old child. They're not always happy with what we tell them that they must do, but it's necessary for us to be their guardian, to show them what is needed. And Lord, we've got a world right now that don't realize how bad they need the church to direct the way. But lovingly and out of a committed heart of love for Jesus, help us to stand true and to be ready to give that reason for the hope that we have. Bless us as the church to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.